Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the board meeting, which I declare open. First item on the agenda is an update on GNSO improvements. Steve, you were going to speak on GNSO improvements.
Good morning, everybody. The board wishes to note that during this past week and actually preceding it, there has been a tremendous amount of very good, credible, and valuable work on the GNSO improvements. We have greatly encouraged by the spirit of goodwill and collaboration and compromise which has been evidenced throughout the GNSO. And so the board encourages the GNSO to continue along the paths that they have been pursuing so that we can achieve closure on the several points that are under development. I think Bruce wanted to elaborate on some of the detail.
He did. I think, Bruce, you wanted to comment further on that?
Yeah, look, I think if we look at the five areas of improvement that are underway, so there's refining the working group model, revising the policy development process, enhancing the constituencies and improving communications. I think on all of these, one of the things that we're finding as an organisation is that we need to be careful that we don't find ourselves spending all our time and all the best people doing reviews all the time. So we need to, I think, advance these things fairly quickly. On the topic of the working group model, that working group's already been used within the GNSO since the sort of new GTLD process, and encourage the GNSO to quickly identify incremental improvements but keep their focus on the actual policy development. I think what we're seeing in the constituencies is new constituencies coming forward, and I think we want to encourage that. We do want to make sure that these constituencies have broad membership, both internationally broad and also diverse in their points of view. So certainly encourage that, because I think more constituencies with focus will improve the quality of the work that comes out of the new stakeholder groups. So I'll leave it at that, Peter.
Thank you, Bruce. And I think Dennis, you had also indicated an intention to comment on improvements in the GNSO.
Not so much on the improvements, Peter, but just on the level of effort that has gone in, and particularly by the volunteers, and the quality of the work that comes out of this process is really impressive.
Yes, thank you. I'd just close this, I think, by noting the work that's going on in the Operations Steering Committee and the Policy Process Steering Committee, and to confirm that we have heard that of the pressures that this is causing, and look forward to coming to a conclusion on some of these items so that we can get on with the real work. The next item then, unless anybody has anything further, is into the topic of individual users in the GNSO. And Harold, I think, had indicated an intention to speak on that.
So it's been very clear to me from the discussions on the board and in the community that basically everyone favors individuals' uses as part of the policy development process in the GNSO. There has been a long tradition of individual user participation in the business business side of the non-contracted house. The situation on the non-commercial side has been a little more complicated, but still it seems that the community wants and appreciates the input of people who are at ICANN representing no particular external body, such as a corporation. So it's also clear that there are no proposals on the board's table in the form of charters, proposed charters that have been sent to the board that address these issues. So the board cannot approve anything. It has nothing to approve. But it is a very good thing that there seems to be consensus in the community that individual users contributing to the policy development process is a good thing that should be encouraged. And I'm hoping that we will have the proposals for particular ways of setting up the relevant constituencies inside the GNSO in such a way that users are empowered in the right way to participate in a way that contributes to the safe and secure operation of the internet.
Thank you, Harold. I think Wendy had also indicated an intention to speak. Wendy?
Great. Thanks very much. And I wanted to make sure that we acknowledged and appreciated the work of the cross-user community GNSO counselors, members of the ALAC, and individuals who worked together to give the board a statement of the importance of user participation and recognize the importance of giving the users easy ways to participate across the ICANN process, as we've seen at the at-large summit, through the at-large organization, and in direct policy development in the GNSO Council through GNSO processes. And so I appreciate that we will have ongoing discussions about giving lightweight mechanisms for individual users of the internet to participate in various parts of the ICANN structure.
Thank you, Wendy. And Raimundo had indicated also, followed by Roberto. Yes.
Thank you, Peter. The GNSO is in this moment in a process of the implementation of a crucial reform. And in this reform, the main issue of it is that the PDP is coming down to make it really a bottom-up policy. It's coming down from the council of the GNSO to the working groups. So I would like the opportunity to encourage all those individuals, even if they don't find a constituency for where to work, to go to the working groups. And the GNSO should, in the constitution of the working groups, should give them a place to be there. Maybe some of them could maybe the drafters of the of some policies, as it happened in other places in the world, where the policies are presented by individuals, and also they may be chairs of some of the working groups. So it seems to me that the message we should give to individuals is that if they want to participate in the PDP, the right place to do it is in the working groups, and it's to work and not to have the power in the council.
Thank you, Raimundo. Roberto?
I think that this issue about individual members' participation in the GNSO is an old issue. It was raised since the time when the GNSO was the DNSO. The proposal of having a constituency for individuals as the appropriate vehicle for representation has been attempted several times. We know that there are some objective difficulties in bringing together individuals to form a constituency and participate. It's just we have to accept the fact that it is more difficult than to bring together a set of organizations. But I think that there hasn't been any doubt about the appropriateness of the formation of such groups, and has hasn't been any doubt about the fact that by not having a vehicle for participation for individual users, the ICANN community misses an opportunity. There are some great minds that could contribute and that just don't find the appropriate vehicle. So I would like to go beyond just the acceptance of the fact, and I would encourage individuals of goodwill to go to the effort of creating such vehicle, prepare a charter for the constituency and present a proposal to this board for acceptance. Thank you.
Thanks, Roberto. Dennis.
Thank you, Peter. The legitimacy of the global multi-stakeholder bottom-up policy development process, in my view, requires that that is balanced and takes into consideration the views and concerns of all stakeholders. And an extremely important stakeholder, our set of stakeholders, are the individuals, the registrants, the end users, the customers, the consumers, the citizens who rely on the services and the internet infrastructure provides. Therefore, I regard it as an absolute priority for us that we ensure that those views, those concerns, are fully represented in our policy development processes, particularly in the GTLD and GNSO policy development processes. I'm less concerned about the individuals than the views and concerns of individuals, registrants, customers, etc. And so mechanisms to represent those views fairly and accurately in the policy development process is, I believe, an extremely important aspect of our legitimacy as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Can we move to item three then, which is the renewal of the various charters of the GNSA constituencies? And Roberto, we have a draft resolution. Could you read that for us, please?
Whereas the ICANN board requested that existing constituencies confirm their status with the board by the February 2009 ICANN meeting, and requires constituencies to formally confirm their status every 3 years to ensure that they continue to meet the requirements of Article 10, Section 5, Subsection 3 of the ICANN bylaws. This is intended to be an opportunity for existing constituencies to demonstrate compliance with the principles of representativeness, openness, transparency, and fairness set forth in the ICANN bylaws. Whereas the six constituencies have complied with the board's direction, and the forum, which closed on the 25th February 2009, solicited public comments on their submissions. It is resolved that the board acknowledges and thanks the six GNSO constituencies for their submissions and awaits completion of the following activities. 1. Staff analysis of constituencies' submissions and public comments and identifications of changes that the board may want to request each constituency to make over the coming months to ensure that their charters and subsequent activities comply with the principles contained in the bylaws and expanded upon in the GNSO improvements report and subsequent GNSO restructuring resolutions approved by the board last year. 2. Follow-up submissions from constituencies as needed, provided to the board no later than its June 2009 meeting to confirm that the constituencies have implemented the recommended changes.
Thank you, Roberto. Is there a seconder for that resolution? Steve Goldstein. Thank you, Steve. Any further discussion about it? I think it's comprehensive. We've understood. In which case, I'll put that resolution. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Carried. The next item then is the board has received a global policy proposal for the allocation of the remaining IPv4 address space. Can I ask Raimunda Becker to take us through this particular topic? Thank you, Raimunda.
Thank you, Peter. I will make a short introduction in Spanish, and then I will read the resolution in English. En español, entonces. Esta política que ahora presentamos.
This policy that we present now, or that we introduce now, is crucial. More politically speaking than technically speaking, it is crucial as it delves with the homogeneous distribution of the five regions in the last five blocks / eight of the IPv4 addresses. For the more developed regions, this policy has no importance, perhaps, as with the degree of consumption they have, the last block will be there for another quarter. But the situation is quite different in Latin America and Africa, where a distribution of /8 will be there for one additional year, plus another one which is in reserve. Therefore, we are speaking about 2 years in the case of ACNIC and 3 years plus 1 year in the case of AFRINIC. Therefore, the depletion of IPv4 and the slowness with which IPv6 has appeared in the world allows 2 years in time to Latin America and 4 years to Africa. This policy asked for some generosity that was very late in arriving on behalf of the other three regions. But it did arrive, and it did arrive when IPv4 is becoming depleted. And this is something that we have to celebrate. And for me, as a member of the board, the most important thing that they have done here is to introduce this policy at this point in time, and this is why I am so glad in doing so, and also with a great acknowledgement to those who were the authors of these policies, who defended them in public fora. And also, I would like to thank the generosity of Reich, Arin, and IPNIC, because they finally were able to approve this sort of policies. Today, apparently, I don't know if this has happened, but there is some hope that it will happen, that some of the space that has remained in IPv4 may be turned back to IANA. There is a new policy which is appearing at this moment in time. And therefore, this precedent of uniform distribution of the last blocks is a very important one. The most complex policy was allocation. It is still being discussed, but at least we have a precedent where the regions that arrived later into internet are not going to be punished for this delay. I am going to read the resolution in English.
Whereas on February 2009, the Address Supporting Organization Address Council, ASOAC, forwarded a global policy proposal for the allocation of the remaining IPv4 address space from Viana to the RIS to be handled by the board in line with the board's review procedures for global internet number resources policies forwarded for ratification by the ASO Address Council in accordance with the ASO volume. Whereas the ASOAC has verified that consensus has been duly achieved in all RIRs for this proposal, whereas The proposal was forwarded by ICANN staff to all of ICANN advisory committees and support organizations on February 4, 2009, whereas the proposal was posted for public comments on the ICANN website on February 5, 2009, and by the deadline of 26 February 2009, one comment had been received expressing support for the proposal. Whereas on March 5, 2009, the ASO AC submitted advice in full support of the proposal to the board. Whereas the proposal gives clear direction for the allocation of the last remaining IPv4 address blocks in the YANA free pool, thereby increasing predictability concerning this matter for the community. It is resolved that the board hereby ratifies the global policy proposal for the allocation of the remaining IPv4 address space as a global policy and instructs ICANN staff to implement two provisions in a timely manner and ensure that his provision can take effect as stated. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Dave Woodlett, you were going to second this? You do?
I second it.
Dave, did you want to say something about this?
Yes, I do. I just wanted to mention, just to emphasize, that this is kind of the end game. This is when IPv4 runs out, which is probably going to happen somewhere around the end of 2010, maybe 2011. It's really hard to tell. It really depends on the consumption between now and then. Why this is important is that it takes the last remaining five /8 blocks, which are basically around 17 million addresses, and distributes them equally among all the five different RIRs for them to use. As Raimondo mentioned, some RIRs are using them or consuming them at a slower pace than other RIRs. So they're going to last some RIRs only a few months, and others perhaps a few years. And the ones in the developing countries are the few years. So I think this is a very good proposal. It gives address space, the legacy IPv4 address space, a longer runout time for the developing countries. But we still have to move towards IPv6. This isn't going to do anything about that. As a community, we need to concentrate on IPv6 because that's our future. That's where we're headed. This just eases the pain a bit for some of the developing countries. So just wanted to emphasize that, and I'm very pleased to see this moving forward, because it does provide a fair and equitable distribution of the last remaining IPv4 space to the entire internet community. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave. I have a speaking order on this with Steve G, Paul, and then Steve C. Steve Goldstein.
Thank you, Chair. Since I joined the board a little over 2 years ago, I've noted that this matter of policy of IPv4 depletion and so forth has been pursued with tenacity and reported to the board with regularity by our staff member, Olaf Nordling. And Olaf, Oli, would you just stand up so people can see you and give you a little applause for this thing? Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you, Steve. Paul Timmy.
Well, I was going to do exactly the same thing that Steve was going to say, so I'll applaud Olaf as well. And I'd also like to thank the members of the ASO Address Council for the role they've played in putting this through. I think we should also note, and this is very important, I think this final global policy, as Dave pointed out, for the regional internet registries, for all to have worked through this, which has been taking some time to end up with this result, I think is very significant. And I think we should also pay particular attention to each of the RIRs and give thanks to the initiatives and the coordination of this. This this is one of these difficult issues to coordinate across five regions and for five regional RIRs to work it through together and have a bottom-up policy process which resulted in exactly such an equitable allocation mechanism, I think, is something that should be noted. It should be noted in this place. It should certainly be noted in all places where internet governance is discussed, because this is a very significant outcome, and this global policy is a very significant outcome in the context of the ongoing internet governance discussion.
Thank you, Paul. Steve Crocker.
Thank you, Chairman. Just want to note that although what's happening here is exactly the right thing, to step back a little bit and look at the larger context for the benefit of people who are trying to understand exactly where this transaction, where this activity of ours fits into the larger picture. When we say we're running out, we're allocating the last of the IPv4 space, that does not mean in any way that IPv4 service is going to come to an end throughout the world.